What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Under the Microscope, where we dissect the art of basketball. I'm Coleman Ayers from By Any Means Basketball.
And I'm Yosef from Value Basketball Skills Training. So today we're going to talk to you guys about something that I kind of had a little experience with in the past a couple of days ago, about like 2 days ago. So I drove one of my boys that I've been kind of working with a lot lately, and then I drove him to one of his tournaments this past weekend, and then he did his best, and he ended up losing, right? So at the end of that tournament, we're watching the game film together. We're kind of watching the mistakes that he made together, and I'm trying to learn from them. Well, that's what at least I was trying to get the goal of that whole session was. But while we're watching this the whole time, I'm sure this is something that a lot of players do as well. Whole time, he's very, very harsh on himself. He's overly criticizing himself and yelling at himself, kind of like punching himself, saying, "Why the fuck did I do that? Why am I so stupid? What's the point? Like, why did I even make that move, Yosef? Like, I don't get why I'm doing that." And all of these questions are, if you think about all the answers to these questions are really just pointless. None of them are really going to explain to you what you did in a way that can kind of like improve your game in a way. Like, it's not a constructive kind of question to ask yourself. So as we're watching this, he just continues to yell and yell at himself and like literally getting physical and like punching like the seat in front of him and like getting really upset with himself very visibly. And then what I'm trying to tell him is that you need to calm down, you know, and try to look at the video for what it's worth and for what you can learn from it, rather than just looking at it as an excuse to like make fun of yourself or like hurt yourself, you know. So we're not doing this film session to make fun of you. We're doing this film session to point out these mistakes and learn from them so you don't repeat them in the future. When he was watching it, he was just taking it as an examples of why he's quote unquote not good or why he's not at the level that he wants to be at, instead of just trying to learn from them. So what I was trying to explain to him is that that's not really the way. It's not going to solve anything, asking yourself, "Why am I so stupid?" The answer, whatever the answer to that question may be, isn't going to help you become a better basketball player. The question that you should be asking yourself instead is, all right, why did I get blown by in this situation? What about my defensive posture, my defensive stance made it easy for him to blow by when he jabbed right and attacked left? What could I have done better in that specific situation? These are the types of questions that you can benefit from and actually learn from, so you can apply them to the future and have that same situation not occur again. So we've all dealt with players like this, the ones that are really passionate and want to kind of they think that showing how angry they are at themselves equates to how good of a basketball player they are. In reality, that's not the case.
Like, personally, I was that type of player. Like, I mean, all throughout like middle school, high school, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, missed 3 shots in a row during a workout and like punt the ball across the gym. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, at that point, we were talking about this beforehand, like, now I have to go run and get the ball, mm-hmm. wasting time, wasting effort that I could be getting up extra shots, and actually focusing on the right thing. So I think point being is, one, that a lot of us are like this, and that's okay, and it's something that comes with the passion of it, but we have to also, like, kind of redirect where we're putting our attention and our energy so that we can optimize how we're playing, just from a psychological perspective. So I think a lot of it just comes down to the fact that not only are we wasting effort, we're wasting time, but we're also just taking ourselves out of what's the most important. So we're taking ourselves out of that kind of present conscious or unconscious mindset, where we want to be, you know, in that zone, quote unquote. So I'm just specifically from a, like, you're in a game, you start yelling at yourself, you start, you know, getting down on yourself, head is down. Now we're focusing on the past, or even on the future. It's like, I have to do this better next time, I have to do that better next time. Or like I was saying with the past, damn, I should have done this, damn, I should have done that. As soon as we get out of that present mindset, that's going to be bad for us, regardless of what you're thinking. Even if you're thinking like, yeah, like, I did this well, or I need to do this well in the future, regardless, like, it's taking you out of the present. And once you're out of the present, it's really, really hard to kind of let your thoughts go and play. And I understand where it comes from. Let's say, like, you're at tryouts and you throw a bad pass, and you want to, like, the immediate reaction for you is just like, show yourself or show outwardly that you have some sort of anger or resentment towards yourself, just because you want people to understand, like, damn, that's not who I am. Like, I don't normally throw a turnover, so of course when I do, I'm gonna get angry. But you also don't ever see the best players in the world doing that. Because if you think that, even at the high school or college level, if you think the best players at these levels are throwing a bad pass and then kind of spazzing out on themselves or cursing themselves out under their breath every single time, it happens in isolated instances here and there, but it's not happening. And there's a correlation. I don't know if it's causation, but it's definitely a correlation between the players who are able to stay in the present and not get mad at themselves to that extent, and the best players, because they're able to use all of their talent rather than just being uptight. I mean, as soon as you get in this zone where you're like angry at yourself, it's a lot of muscular tension. Your shot is literally going to be different because there's going to be muscular tension in your face and your bicep, like all these muscles that are supposed to be relaxed when you're shooting are now uptight, and that's like physiologically going to change your shot. So it's something that we have to be mindful of as players, but also as coaches, because it is tough to get players to understand that this isn't the best thing to be doing, is like showing your anger. Like, I'm sure when something like that happens, like you were talking about, the player is sitting there thinking anger at themselves is showing you that they care.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And it's really like, we know that you care if you're sitting down invested in the film that we're watching, asking questions. You know, you don't have to be angry at yourself. Let's say you're going back over watching film. You can be, all right, so what should I have done better here? And if you're sitting there like, okay, I understand this, that's when we understand that you're invested. Same thing as when you're playing. Like, if you make a bad pass, if you turn the ball over and you get angry as hell, chances are people are going to look at you a little funny. But if you turn the ball over, come back down, get a defensive stop, make a great play, and then you just lock back in, that's when we understand that you're invested. Mm-hmm. Rather than just kind of letting yourself tail off after one or two mistakes. So that's kind of my experience with it. And it's definitely not the optimal state to be in, whether you're playing or watching film or even just like sitting in your room playing 2K and just angry at yourself because you had a bad game. It's never the optimal state.
Yeah. And I also mentioned to him to think about what the other guy that he's matched up against was doing after that game. If he was watching that game tape, do you think, as upset you are about yourself, do you think he's matching that with how happy he did against you? Do you think he's as mm-hmm. proud of himself as he is when he was watching how he was able to score on you in different ways? So it's not, obviously, he may be watching it to learn from, but he's not going to be watching it like, wow, I'm really so good. I'm so good.
Yeah.
I can't believe I did that on him. I'm that good or whatever. He's watching it to just as well. Just what I'm trying to get you to do is watching it to learn from things that or learn things that he could have done better, even though he won. If he's even watching that game tape in the first place. So if you're watching that game tape, getting upset at yourself really is just taking you even further out of the game and just getting you so much more dissociated from it, to the point where you're not going to learn from it, and you're just not going to be able to benefit from that situation and get in that and be able to recreate that again. And you're going to just go through like a vicious cycle of playing bad, being upset at yourself, then trying to play again and make up for it, then playing even worse because you never learned from yourself, and now you're playing even worse, and then you lose again. Now you're even more upset at yourself, and now it becomes kind of a deadly pattern. Yeah, exactly. It becomes a vicious cycle that you can't really get yourself out of, and now your confidence is starting to get affected long term. Your confidence in your abilities, your willingness to probably get in the gym and train. Maybe you might overtrain to kind of make up for it. You might want to go extra hard. And then, because I know that's what I've done whenever I've gotten beat when I was young, I would really get in the gym and like overtrain myself to the point where I wasn't able to walk just because I wanted to really never let that situation happen again. And to some degree, there's some correctness in that, the fact that I'm willing to work, the fact that anyone is willing to work to prevent a loss like that happening again. But how healthy is it to go for, I don't know, like 50 hills right after a game like that and trying to come back and play to the next day, and then burnt out and dead and
It's
tired,
not.
and it's not a sustainable kind of way to
Definitely
learn from
not.
your mistakes. So whenever you want to learn from these mistakes, be in a calm state, just take it as face value. Don't try to look at it with any judgment or any insecurities. Just look at it as if completely open, vulnerable to what any criticism that can come your way, and just try to apply that. Because if you're messing up that much, then that just goes to show you how much you have to work on, and that should be more exciting than frustrating, because that's the whole process. That's the whole reason we play this game, is to get better and better, and then any opportunity that we have to recognize anything that we struggle with is a opportunity to get better at. So that's something that you should be more excited for, and making a list of things like, all right, my defensive stance sucks. I need to get better at forcing a direction rather than giving him every single option and trying to react. My decision making on offense could be a lot better. I'm trying to do a little too much. I'm dribbling too much. Maybe I could be a lot more efficient. How can I be more efficient? I could, I don't know, I could study other game tape, or I could study other players, or I could study previous games where I played well and try to see and compare and contrast what went well there and what went bad here, and then try to, I don't know, you could figure it out yourself, and then that's a lot more of a beneficial thing, or a lot more of a conducive process to go through, rather than just sitting there looking at yourself in such a angst. Like, you should have seen this kid's face, man. He was just looking at himself so frustrated. You could see like the built up anger and him just yelling over and over, like just popping off on himself. It's like to the point where if he was talking like that to somebody else, that other person would fight him immediately. Like, you would not go like it's to, so why, if you wouldn't talk like that to somebody else that makes mistakes, why would you talk to yourself like that? Like, it doesn't make sense. You need to be even more patient with yourself, because you know where you're at and you know why things are going down the way they are. Maybe you haven't worked on that skill set, or maybe you haven't worked on those weaknesses that you're getting upset at yourself about to enough to you can actually improve them. Like, they're still very weak skill sets that you could develop. There's no point. I'm not going to get in a soccer match and get smoked and then go home and get pissed off at myself for not being able to do better, because I know I've never played soccer before. I know there's a lot of things I can work on to improve. So instead of me going home and just like yelling and criticizing the fuck out of myself, I'm going to try to figure out, all right, he did this. I mean, first I'm going to try to learn how to play soccer, but then I'm going to try to figure out why whatever my guy that I was matched up with was able to take advantage of me for, and then try to do my best to mitigate that in the future.
It all comes down to not getting too high and not getting too low.
Exactly.
Because if you're, exactly. Like, if you're just constantly traveling to both ends of that spectrum, where you hit a great shot or you have a great game, and your first reaction is to feel great for yourself, then that's going to set yourself up for when you have a bad game. Now you have that standard of like, this is what good is. And if you don't reach that every time, then you're going to get angry at yourself. So the key is to staying in that kind of middle ground, and understanding like everything can be flipped psychologically to your advantage, or at least to kind of a neutral state. So like you were saying, don't look at it as I have a lot to work on, this sucks. Look at it as I have a lot to work on, this should be a challenge for me because I love basketball so much, or because I love the process so much. So regardless of what situation you're in, there's always a way that you can flip that switch to make it, if not positive, then a kind of neutral thing. And that's what, it's a skill. I'm not going to say that listening to this podcast, you're immediately going to go out there after your next bad game or after anything, any punch that you take in life, and you're just immediately going to be able to flip that to a positive thing. It's 100% a difficult thing to do, but it's a skill that we have to work on just as much as we work on shooting or ball handling or all these things, if not more, because it's going to apply all the way till the day you die. Let's say you get fired from a job. Obviously, that's going to be a very, very, those are very dire circumstances, but you're going to have to flip that if you truly want to be or reach where you want to reach in life. So it's more than just basketball, and it's a skill. Like we always say, basketball is kind of a vehicle for other skills to be developed, and I think that's one of the biggest ones, at least that I've experienced. And then also I think just consider what you're being what you're getting angry about and how it looks from an outside perspective. Because I see a lot of guys, like, their team will be up or their team will win a game and they'll walk off the court mad. And I'm like, dude, like, yeah, you realize how bad this looks.
That looks disgusting. Literally
everyone. It's awful. And they think it looks okay because, like, oh, I hold myself to a high standard. I should be mad at myself. Like, no, you look like a dumbass. You look like someone who is probably not going to get minutes the next game. You, like, the best. So whenever you watch an NBA game, and a guy has a bad shooting night, I'm trying to think of who it was that I was watching the other night. Someone. But anyways, they were having an awful shooting night. I think it may have been Dort on the Thunder. But he's been, like, I don't want to say locking up James Harden, but playing very good defense the whole series. And dude was like 1-for-11 in the first half. But I never saw any outward anger or outward expression towards himself or his teammates. He kind of stayed in that moment. He stayed stable between that negative and the positive. And he played the rest of the game. And I think they may have lost that game. But either way, and then he comes out the next game and plays a very good game. And that's because he stayed kind of neutral. And even if, like, so let's say they had won that game, he's not going to walk off the court being mad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's literally saying, like, all right, I barely care about the team. I'm just an individual kind of object and a collection of pieces. Mm-hmm. Not like I'm part of this team. So that's an awful look, especially if you're someone who's struggling for playing time or to make a team or to get to that next level. You think college coaches are going to look at you when you're acting like a crybaby on the court?
Honestly, yeah, that's what it is.
Like, it's not going to, they're going to see that and be like, I don't want that kid on my team. I don't want that girl on my team. And it's something that we, as coaches, have the responsibility to, or the obligation to, talk to players about it and help them understand this, but also expect, like, they're not going to have the tools to do it by themselves. So we have to research. If you're a coach listening to this, if you want to be a coach, if you have a coach that doesn't help you with it, it's our obligation to research how we can get players out of this mindset and how we can use just the principles of psychology to kind of shift players' mindsets. And if we're not doing that, then, and if we're just teaching skills, we're not really doing our job at the end of the day. So I feel like it should definitely be more of a focus for not only players, but coaches, trainers, and also understand that, again, that's a skill that can last the length of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably something I would focus on if I see that in a player more than their jump shot or their ball handling or whatever their weak link may be.
Exactly. And another thing is that this applies to every player on the court and even players off of the court. I mean, even people off of the court, such as coaches. Mm-hmm. So imagine if one of your star players, the leader on your team, he's feeling this way after a bad game and he's just yelling at himself, takes himself out, kind of isolates himself from the entire team. And now as a leader of the team, how do you look when everybody's looking to you to kind of like set the standard for how to handle losses or how to mm-hmm. handle failures? And then now you're over here secluded, isolated, being down on yourself. Now the team feels out of direction because you're supposed to be the guy that's supposed to kind of build everybody up. And then when you're shitting on yourself like that, now they're thinking like, shit, if our leader is doing this, then we probably might not be good because we have nobody at the helm of our team that's going to take us over or take us to the next level. And then imagine like when coaches, everybody's had that one coach that gets to the point where they kick over chairs, slam their clipboards, and like everything, they just can't control their anger. And that's different because they're not necessarily playing, and it's more frustrating as a coach to like not have players listen to you. But when does that level of anger and when does that expression of anger ever make a player feel, oh, okay, yeah, now let me just be better now. Let me just kind of like calm myself down. It's more of a extra pressure as a player when your coach is feeling this anger, slamming his clipboard, yelling at you, doing all these things. And now you're just feel even more uneasy and just kind of inconfident about what you're about to do because you don't want to make the wrong move to upset him even further. And it's just, similar to the same way how you handle yourself, where you're upset to the point where you're trying to do. This is during game also. This isn't after game. So this is during the game where you're upset with yourself with how you perform in the first half. Now you go extra hard the second half, and you do even worse because you're not locked in. You're not trying to play in the moment. You're just trying to play to be better than you were in that first half, which is not the best approach to take. You just want to take what the defense gives you and work and play within yourself and just do what you can, and that's the best that you can always do. But when you try to do more than what you can to make up for something that you've never been able to do, for something that you struggle with in the first half or earlier on in the game, then that's when that whole downward spiral of you going outside and going extra hard trying to make things right, and then it's just when you go into a much further pit than you were before. And so when things like that happen within games, try to find, like Coleman said about that player on the Thunder, how he's locking up Harden. When things like that happen, when you struggle offensively, just figure out ways that you can still be productive and useful to your team in other ways. So whether that's locking up on defense or being more vocal on the court or being more of a rebounding presence or being more of a leader, whatever it could be, there's scoring isn't the only way to be a threat on the court, and it's not the only way you could be useful to your team. So if you ever find yourself in this state of mind, if you ever find yourself after the game trying to yell at yourself and trying to yell some confidence back into you, that's not the way it's going to work. You just got to sit there, kind of quiet your mind down, and try to figure out, all right, why am I struggling right now? Or why did I struggle this game? How could I improve that? What's actionable out of this? What's something that I can actually practice to improve so this doesn't happen? If this was just a dumb mistake that I can't really do again, all right, that's fine. Just chalk it up as a dumb mistake, but don't let that mistake or that carry or that struggle of a game define you as a basketball player, because that's again just one game or just one moment in your long career of playing basketball that you're going to go through a lot more highs and lows. So if you're already stuck on this, then this game isn't really going to be made for you, because there's so much more that you're going to experience. And if you can't handle this, then it's going to be a struggle mentally, physically, and just spiritually. You're going to start feeling more and more like it's a burden to play this game, because you're trying not to be bad instead of playing it to have fun and just enjoying yourself.
No, I 100% agree.
So
You
do
got
you have
anything else?
no I was about to ask you the same thing. It's pretty much it.
So I mean, we could go on all day about it, but it's also something that I feel like needs to be a little bit more short and concise. Just because you don't need to, if you do kind of display this in your game or wherever, you don't need to be like scolded for it, because it's not like it's natural when someone's passionate for the most part, but it's definitely something that you need to consider. And understand that it's going to help not only your on-court abilities, but everything else in your life once you learn to make this shift. So it's going to be a process for anyone. I mean, anyone can get better at it. No one's perfect at keeping kind of a level head, but it's going to be a process for whoever. But just again, take everything as it is and move on, whether it's a positive or a negative. Just never get too high, never get too low, and understand that you're gonna have a lot ahead of you that you need to work for that's not the past. So kind of stay present, shift everything that you possibly can into a positive or neutral thing. And then just understand that everyone's going through the same stuff too. So you're not alone in it, and hopefully that'll make a difference for you guys.
And one more kind of funny story or funny anecdote to compare this to is imagine if you were in court on trial for something that you're pretty confident that you didn't do. You know that you're pretty innocent, and you have a lawyer that's representing you, and then the prosecutor throws something at your lawyer that he wasn't expecting. That so now how would you feel if your lawyer just sat there yelling at himself, like, what the fuck? Why didn't I think of that? Like, why did like why, what am I gonna do? How are you gonna feel as a defendant when you're sitting there trying to like you trust this guy with your essentially your life pretty much, because he's the one that's gonna make your case for you, and now he's over here panicking and getting upset at himself for not being better prepared. how that won't make you feel comfortable at all. You want to have somebody that, you know, is going to feel confident, even if something hits them to a point where they didn't prepare for it, they're not going to outwardly show it because they know that that's going to be it's going to hurt them eventually. So they want to be able to receive information, gather information as much as possible, and flipping it right back out as something that can be beneficial and useful to them. So same thing you could do in basketball. If you're struggling, gather that information. Like, why am I struggling? While actually performing, gather that information while you're struggling and process that information, and then fix that problem in the midst of playing throughout that entire game. And if it's after the game, it's even better. You don't have to worry about playing. You just got to make that correction, learn from it, practice it, then reapply it when the next time you play.
Agreed.
So if you guys have anything else that you guys want to hear us discuss on this podcast, for sure bring it up to us, DM us, let us know. As you guys know, we love communicating with y'all and hearing from y'all and basically connecting with you guys on any level, whether that be through IG or any of the comments or anything, any way that you guys want to reach out. So please feel free to do so, and then we'll keep this content going.
For sure. Appreciate you guys.
Hey.